Good morning. This is Tamara Pigott from the Lee County Visitor Convention Bureau. Welcome to our weekly tourism industry conference call. Commissioner Brian Hammond was unable to join us this morning, so we're going to go right to Mark Fisher from the Lee County Port Authority, who will give us an update on the construction project underway at the Southwest Florida International Airport. Mark, you'll have to hit star 2 to unmute yourself.
I think I did it right.
You did do it right, sir.
Good. Good morning, everyone. Again, I'm Mark Fisher. I'm Senior Deputy Executive Director with the Lee County Port Authority. So I'll just give you a quick summary of what's going on at the Southwest Florida International Airport. You know, maybe first some stats. You may have read in the paper, we finished our calendar year with 10.2 million passengers arriving and departing RSW. That's the busiest calendar year in the history of the airport by a few thousand passengers. So that's, from our standpoint, that's very good considering Hurricane Ian and the airline weather problems and technical issues over the holidays. So that places us right now at the 38th busiest airport in the U.S., just behind airports like St. Louis, San Clemente, New Orleans, and just ahead of airports like Dallas Love Field, San Antonio, and Cleveland. A little look ahead from a seat capacity airline scheduling standpoint through March. The forecast is down about 10%+ through March. That's semi-expected just because airports across the country are experiencing that. Airline schedules are being reduced across the country because airlines are wanting a little bit more buffer so they don't have a bad Southwest-type weekend, whether it be a complete computer glitch or weather or pilot shortage. So they're adding those buffers to their schedules and reducing their schedules at airports all across the country. Could be a little bit of the Hurricane Ian effect. You know, somebody booking a ticket in October, wanting to come down in February, may have put that off. We don't really know, but nothing of concern. Again, we're breaking records here at RSW, and we're going to keep a close eye out over the summer and fall, of course, because we know it's one of the key economic indicators for the region. As far as projects, stuff we're building, we met with our airport board last week to discuss our $1.7 billion capital improvement plan. I can touch on some of the bigger projects. Cam mentioned one of the bigger ones is our ongoing terminal expansion project here at RSW. That's a $331 million project. And what that is taking our existing three security checkpoints for concourses B, C, and D, and then consolidating them into a single checkpoint. So you'll be able to go through the checkpoint and go to any concourse. And it's also adding about 200,000 square feet to the back of the building toward where the planes park. And that's mainly going to be for concessions. So we're really revamping our concessions program as well. We're pretty much going to be doubling our concessions once the project's complete and adding a lot new vendors and choices for our passengers, a lot of national brands, and bringing in a lot of local brands too by the end of the project. It's a three-year construction. We're about 15 months in and about 10 months behind. So there's a lot of reasons for that. But we're working with our construction manager to try to do a recovery schedule. And our target is still to open that new checkpoint, consolidated checkpoint, before Thanksgiving of 2024. It's a really cool video on our website, flylcta.com. If anybody hasn't seen it, it sort of goes through the whole construction and phasing and where walls are going to be and passengers rerouted. But you'll pretty much see it ramp up the construction within the next 8 months if you're flying in and out of RSW. Another project at RSW we have under construction is the realignment of Chamberlain Parkway. That's the roadway on the north side of the airport that used to serve the old passenger terminal. We're basically taking out that old loop that served the old passenger terminal in the parking lot. We're going to make that a contiguous four-lane divided roadway, basically from the signal at Chamberlain and Daniels, looping through the airport and coming back out at the signal at Paul J. Doherty Gateway Boulevard in Daniels. So that the main reason for that is to enhance our potential for Skyflex development. That's that area, you know, a lot of woods across the street from JetBlue Park that we've hired a consultant broker firm to help us plan and develop on the south side of this new roadway, of course, right along the beachfront as far as the runway frontage. Good place for corporate hangars, general aviation, cargo, logistics, a lot of that stuff. And then north side of the road, is where we have a vision of, a corporate office park, multi-use, retail, high-end. So again, that roadway is under construction, supposed to be done in about 14 months. Some other projects that we're just sort of embarking on or coming down the pipeline, we're under design for a new Concourse E. It's a brand new concourse here at RSW. It's planned to be in two phases. Phase one would be 8 gates, and that would have a new ticketing lobby, new roadway work, and that's planned to be open in 2027. We're about 30% done with the design, and the price tag is about $620 million. And then we're also under design and going to continue design to expand that even when after we open it in 2027 to add another 6 gates to that concourse at a price tag of about $250 million. And that'll also include covered walkways from the parking garage over to the terminal, so you won't have to cross the roadway. You can actually come from the garage to the terminal without crossing any active roadways. And that's expected to be open probably in the early 2030s, 2031, 2032. We're going to be starting design later this year for a rental car expansion project. It's a lot of that is behind the scenes, just expanding the rental car operations to make it easier for our passengers, you know, to have a convenient rental car. So it's a lot of where they wash and fuel and clean and maintain their vehicles. But as part of that project, we're going to be adding another level to the parking garage. So I know that's very needed, particularly this time of year, as people drive around looking for a space in our parking garage. So that's about $210 million project we're going to start design later this year on. Hopefully that would open in about 2028. And then another big project for us is to repave our only runway, you know, runway 624 here at RSW. You know, we're the third busiest single runway airport in the world after London Gatwick, who's the busiest. You know, they actually have two runways, but they can only use one runway at a time, so it's essentially a one runway airport. And then San Diego, and then we're number three. And it's always a challenge to repave a runway when you have to keep it open, so we're embarking on that design very, very shortly. Last time we did that was in 2006, and we actually turned a taxiway into a temporary runway, moved all the planes, takeoffs, and landings over there while we repaved it. We can hope it to do that same type of approach coming up, but that project will probably happen, 2027. And I guess lastly, you know, Page Field, we operate Page Field too. If you're driving down Danley Boulevard and Metro, you'll see some construction going on. That we just started constructing 81 new T-hangers. That's hangers for planes and some other improvements over there in that south quadrant. So you'll be able to see that coming up. You know, Page Field is very important to us because not only from an economic, local, regional economic standpoint, it's where all the CEOs and corporate jets fly in, but also the recreational pilots. It keeps them over there and not at RSW. You know, big planes and small planes don't mix so well. It slows those big planes down. So really having that airport over there as a reliever to RSW helps the capacity of planes coming in and out. That's sort of all I can think of, Tan. Quick update for Lee County Airports.
Well, we appreciate that, Mark, very much. I'm going to give folks on the call the opportunity to ask you questions now, Mark. I'm sure you're busy. Probably don't want to hang around for the rest of this. So if you have a question for Mark, please hit *2 to unmute yourself and go ahead and ask him now. Mark, it looks like you've thoroughly answered their questions. I appreciate you joining us this morning. Great update and great to hear what's happening. I'm especially excited to hear about the parking garage expansion. I know that's been a little bit of a challenge for local residents at certain times of the year, so that's great to hear that that's on track for just a few years from now. So good work. We appreciate what you do, and we'll keep trying to get as many visitors through that place as we possibly can, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Everybody have a good morning. Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. Now we have an FRL update from John Lai. John, do you mind hitting *2 to unmute yourself?
Hi, Mark, I think I did this right.
Yes, you did, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can.
All right, fantastic. Great. Thanks so much, Tam. Good morning, everyone. And if Mark's still on, thank you, Mark. You know, I think we all agree that we are incredibly privileged to have an airport and facility such as RSW in our backyard. So great to hear that update. Tam, I'm going to be brief. I am your new regional director for Florida Restaurant Lodging Association as of January 2nd. So for those of you who I haven't met, I'm doing everything I can to get out in the region and make sure that from a restaurant and lodging perspective that I'm a face that you're familiar with. Lois Croft had been in this position for, well, as long as I can remember, so about 6 years now in our region, and recently stepped out in December. I had the opportunity to not only retain the position of the presidency of the Sandal Captiva Chamber of Commerce, but also to come on board in this capacity and help our lodging and restaurant industry rebound after Hurricane Ian. Have been spending a lot of time this month helping restaurants navigate DBPR, getting their licensing fast track so that we can get them reopened if they have to move to another space. I know that some of that is cumbersome. So if anyone on the call has any questions with how we can help with that, please feel free to reach out. I'll give it again at the end, but my email for FRLA is jlai@frla.com. I'm sorry, that is .org. So I'll give that again at the end, and I will. Just, you know, in a normal year, we'd be really focused on I would have led this call off with our legislative priorities, and so I'll go into that now. We are getting ready for Tourism Day 2023, which is on March 22nd. For those of you who aren't familiar with Tourism Day, it's a day for our industry to head up to Tallahassee, meet some of our legislators, and voice the concerns of the industry that we see as legislative priorities for this year. And this year, it's a pretty robust agenda. And I can, once again, Tam, I can email this to you or I can email it out. I will certainly email it out to our database in FRLA. So if you are a member, if you are on our database, you will receive it. But among the things that are on this list, our workforce housing, as we all know, is something that we've been talking about quite frequently over the past few years. Vacation rentals, wanting to level the playing field between vacation rentals and hotels and resorts. Data privacy, interchange fees on sales tax, and then the ones that are most closest to home are hurricane recovery, asking for a pretty robust package from both the state and federal level for our affected and impacted zip codes. The one thing that I've learned taking over Collier and Charlotte is that, you know, obviously Lee is not alone in this. And so certainly fighting for hurricane recovery across our state. Water quality, which has impacted us, is new to the FRLA legislative agenda this year. And so very, very excited to have that on this priority list. And then looking obviously at tourist development tax and protecting what that was intended to be utilized for, and Visit Florida, which is near and dear to my heart as a board member of Visit Florida as well. Then finally, the last piece of legislation that we are working very hard on is one that is being run by our very own Adam Batana. And it's for special food service liquor licenses. And it's reducing the amount of square footage that restaurants and seating that restaurants must have by the state, or is required to have by the state, to have a full liquor license. We're looking to bring that down from 150 to 100 seats, and from 2,500 square feet to 1,500 square feet. Really, it's because of the hurricane, and looking at restaurants moving into smaller spaces, having a smaller footprint, and not having the density that they had at their older locations. We find that this is a very important piece of legislation for our industry. So once again, that's it in a nutshell. I'll send that out. Make sure that that everyone that is a member of FRLA or is on our distribution list will get that. And then, Tam, just a couple more quick announcements. We have our next luncheon on the February 22nd. It makes sense that we will do it in collaboration with the Sandbach Captiva Chamber of Commerce luncheon. It is going to be at Tween Waters, like I said, on the 22nd of February. We will hear from Tony Laffey and Doug Babcock to hear about the future of Sandbach Captiva Beach Resorts, the company that they own and manage. So very excited about that. We're going to take March off for events for obvious reasons. And then in April, we will be hosting an event on Fort Myers Beach to look holistically at how that community is envisioning itself as it puts itself back together. So stay tuned for more information on that. Tam, that's it for me. I will share my email one more time with everyone on the call. It is jlai@frla.org.
All right, John. Thank you so much for that update. Appreciate all the hard work you're doing, and appreciate the legislative efforts especially. Any questions for John this morning? All right, John. No doubt they'll send you an email if they have a question or reach out to you. I know they know how to get in touch.
Appreciate it, Tim. Thank you.
Yeah, have a great week, John. Our next speaker is David Outerbridge, who serves as the University of Florida's extension agent here in Lee County. David, we're really excited to have you on this morning. You'll need to hit *2 to unmute yourself. David's going to give us an update on how our wildlife has done post-Hurricane Ian, the recovery there with our wildlife and water. So, David, can't hear you yet.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Wonderful. Good morning, everyone. My name is David Outerbridge. I represent UF IFAS Extension in Lee County as the Extension Director, and I also have programs in natural resources and sustainable food systems. So post-hurricane, a lot of what we have been doing is to evaluate impacts to agriculture, to fisheries, and coastal damage. I've been working with the Marine Debris Task Force at the state level to figure out how many boats are in wildlife areas. And wildlife in general, is the impacts are going to be kind of more longer felt. There's the initial impacts of the coastal stuff like mangroves and debris in the mangroves. But I think the most significant kind of topic for this group would probably be all of the debris in the water and the long-term implications, beaches and other things like that, about having human debris like glass, metal, other things like that, and the timeline to get it cleaned up. We're entering roosting season now for bird life, and a lot of the mangroves are recovering. We're not going to know the full recovery of mangroves for 2 to 3 years, as there may be some large deposits of high salinity water in some of the mangrove areas, which may cause some damage. Other than that, I mean, I think it's just ongoing evaluation and research and hoping to support all of the producers. There was over $1 billion worth of damage to agriculture, and that's just the crops that were in the ground that has nothing to do with the infrastructure, as well as fisheries, the shrimp fleet, the commercial fishermen, and I know in the tourism industry, a lot of it. Commercial and recreational fishermen are very key to getting people down here and enjoying the coast. So if anybody has any questions for me, my email is doutebridge, doutebridge, @ufl.edu. And we're always here to support with research and education. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. Does anybody have any questions for David? You'll have to hit *2 to unmute yourself.
Yes, this is Anissa Kareem from Randall Research Center. David, thank you for being on the call today. I'm getting some general questions from people out on Pine Island about the safety, their safety, about, you know, if they're swimming in the water, what is the likelihood of them coming across bits of trash, glass, broken metal, things like that. There's some people that are still uneasy about going into the water, not on Pine Island, but, you know, on beach, at beach areas. And so what are the types of things, the general comments maybe I can share with them? They're concerned about wildlife health, but also water quality and their own kind of safety. So what are the general tips I can share with them to assure them some areas are still being cleaned up, others are fine? Really, I guess the question.
Yeah, the cleanup is ongoing, and they're still kind of evaluating the scale of it, honestly. I mean, you know, there were, to give you an idea, in Hurricane Michael, I think there was about 2,800 boats that were up on land or in mangroves, or, you know, on coastal areas that they had to report, and they just got the last one cleaned up. In Lee County, there's probably about 7,000 vessels that's just the vessels, not to mention all of the other, you know, houses and other coastal impacts. So the cleanup is ongoing. It's multifaceted. There's still a lot of the funding that is getting sorted out at the federal and state levels to allow for a lot of that cleanup. So I think some of it is going to be regionally done by volunteer groups on different lands. The county has, to my knowledge, has had a few with volunteer groups, Keep Lee Beautiful and other ones like that. But they haven't, you know, they're still evaluating, probably officially start in April. So my best advice is to be very careful, to know where you're going, and to maybe even wear kind of reef shoes or something like that, because we have no idea what is where, and it's the scale of this is still being evaluated.
Okay, and I have a related follow-up question. So with all of these boats in the water, boats stuck in mangroves, certainly there are issues about fuel being leaked into the water and things like that, hydrocarbons that are being leaked into the water. Are there any areas that people should avoid? Are there clusters of areas where boats have been marooned and maybe we should be avoiding those areas, or ask people to maybe not go in the water just yet in those areas?
There are a few areas where there are some boats clustered that are just too far back to access. With the hydrocarbons in the water, there are all kinds of things in the water due to things washing off land. So it's always best to have a lot of care. I mean, it depends what the hydrology is of the area, whether there's water flow. A lot of people have been going in and siphoning off all of the fuel from the boats that are stranded. So it's a case by case basis and being careful. I couldn't say directly which areas are safe and which areas are not, because everything's moving with the water.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Understood.
No problem.
And David, when you say 7,000 vessels, we mean boats? I'm just curious, because, you know, I know there's some cars in the water too, right? I mean, you know, that floated away.
Vessels, so boats, you know, as far as the other debris, there's a significant amount of debris. Yeah. I know Fort Bunge Beach, a bunch of other places. So it's, again, it's the scale is pretty incredible.
And, you know, just to kind of build on what you mentioned about, you know, volunteering, you know, volunteer groups to help with the cleanup, I think there's a real opportunity for the tourism industry to encourage what we call voluntourism, you know, people who take their vacation to volunteer to help an area. And we are going to try to work with the groups in the area who are organizing these volunteer events to make sure we're sharing those with potential visitors, because, you know, it's twofold. One, our visitors can come and help us. We need more people doing this work. And two, I think if a visitor comes here and volunteers to help clean up our area, that will leave an indelible print on their memory, and they will want to come back here year after year or every other year, however they take vacations, to, you know, be a good steward of this place that they helped clean up. So I think it has a real benefit on multiple levels, you know, from a tourism perspective, but also can help our local residents recover as well. So appreciate you sharing that. And as more opportunities come along, I hope you'll share those with us so that we can help push that message out.
Definitely. And I think there's definitely opportunities for citizen science projects as well with. So I appreciate you having me on the call this morning. Thank you, everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, David. We appreciate you being with us. All right. Well, I'm going to give you a quick update from the VCB. As of Monday, we have 9,651 hotel rooms that are open. That is 67.3%. A couple of the recent openings include the Edison Beach House at Fort Myers Beach and some additional rooms at Diamond Head on Fort Myers Beach. The Bayview Bed and Breakfast opened out in Mat Lachey. So, you know, we're doing that survey kind of on an ongoing basis as we are are hearing of openings, but certainly every couple of weeks. So we'll keep you informed on those numbers. I suspect we're going to get pretty close to 70. And then, you know, it's going to be some time before the remaining properties or new properties come back into the place that those properties were. In terms of the star or indication of how our hotel occupancy is doing, for the week of January 15th, occupancy was 83.6%. ADR was 217.14 for a RevPAR of 181.47. And I know that number sounds very high, but thinking about compression, you know, there are a reduced number of rooms. So that is you know, impacting, obviously, those high occupancy numbers. Our sales team has quite a bit of activity in the next week. We will be participating both in Florida Encounter and Florida Huddle, which are taking place February 2nd through 4th in Palm Beach. And we will also be at the American Bus Association Marketplace in Detroit starting Saturday, February 4th, running through Tuesday the 7th. Thus far this fiscal year, the sales team has sourced 218 RFPs that have resulted in 44 booked meetings. Our visitor services team is excited to host the inaugural flight from Austin, Texas next Friday, February 3rd. This is an American Airlines flight, and that is going to be daily service. It's going to currently scheduled to run through May. I'm going to say they're testing it, but I think that's a great opportunity for our area, both directions. Austin is a great destination itself, and I think, you know, with the growth of the tech industry there, it's good news for businesses on this end to have that connection to Austin. Also, our visitor services team, I would like to extend their appreciation to the Westin and Cape Coral. They are going to be hosting our volunteers on a FAM at the end of February, and I will remind everyone on the call, if you are interested in hosting a Tourism Ambassador FAM, please reach out to Simone Bear and talk to her about getting that arranged. We very much want our tourism ambassadors, the volunteers who work at the airport and in other places throughout our community, to have the information about your business and your property. From the marketing side, I'm going to continue to remind you to update your partner listing on the visitfortmyers.com website. Beginning next Monday, January 30th, the What's Open section will be transitioning to a more engaging page for visitors rather than the current long list with hyperlinks to your businesses. So that's about to change. So, you know, you need to update your listing, and everyone with an updated listing at Open in Business, we will be turning your listings back on. If you need help with that, Brielle Benzing on the marketing team will be helping you. And, you know, I cannot reiterate enough, the more listings of open businesses we have, the better. This week, we have added a Hurricane Ian visitor survey to the Visit Fort Myers website. It's a pop-up that visitors will get when they come to the site. And we want to learn more about visitor sentiment and how travel plans have shifted due to the storm, which will allow us to continue to make good marketing decisions. We'll also promote that survey through our email messaging and social channels to visitors. Also on the website, we will be adding some new editorial around arts and culture, warm winter weather, wildlife, spring training, and some new neighborhood spotlights. We of course, will be continuing to update those spotlights as we capture new imagery. We're, you know, in the process of making sure that the imagery we have matches the current situation. So that has been, you know, an ongoing process for us. And we also are going to have a presence on the Twins equipment truck that will be making the trip from Minneapolis to Fort Myers in just a couple of weeks. That truck will travel through Chicago, Nashville, Atlanta, and Tampa, creating exposure for our area and some major markets on its journey south. Communications team has rolled out a new Shellcast podcast featuring Manatee Park that dropped yesterday. And we will be also rolling out a new Road to Recovery video that features Wahoo Willies on Fort Myers Beach. Commissioner Hammond is going to help us out by giving an interview to Fox Weather tomorrow. That's National Fox Weather. And he also will be speaking with a visiting UK journalist, travel journalist, on Monday, who's in town as part of a Visit Florida effort. Our staff continues to volunteer and participate in some of the beach cleanups. For those of you who want to do so, or if you have guests who want to do so, I encourage you to follow the social channels of Keep Lee County Beautiful and SCCF. Those are two places that are pretty regularly posting beach cleanup or community cleanup volunteer opportunities. Lastly, Jeff Milkey and I, along with Lee County Parks and Rec Director Jesse Lavender, will be at Twins Fest this weekend. This is the first Twins Fest since 2019, and it will offer us the chance to speak face-to-face with Twin fans who are dreaming about coming back for spring training, and it will also allow us to connect with the leadership of the Twins organization. I will add that it's negative degrees several of the days we are there, so pray for us to stay warm. And with that, I will open up the lines, hit *2 to unmute yourself, and we look forward to hearing what you have to share today.
Hey, Tam, it's Melissa from Broadway Palm. How are you?
Hey, Melissa. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, thank you for having these calls every week. They are so informative for all of us. I really appreciate it. Just wanted to give an update. I'm actually for Florida Attractions Association, and on February 10th, we're hosting locally at Broadway Palm our Attractions Regional Forum. We have quite a few attractions locally that are members of Florida Attraction Association. Some are not. It's open to both members and non-members. This forum is actually going to be really great. Our current chairman of the board is John Dent with Walt Disney World, so he'll be opening the forum this year with some tourism markets, things, successes, best practices, guest expectations, stuff like that. And then we'll hear from other FAA staff, again, some Florida legislative session issues that we're going to be tackling as far as the tourism industry goes, and trends in social media, other things like that. There's a portfolio there, so just wanted to spread the word on that, invite anybody out. If they have any questions or want me to send the link, my email address is melissa@broadwaypalm.com, and I'm happy to share that with you as well.
All right.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm sure some people will be very interested in attending that forum, so reach out to Melissa, or I think you probably can get information about it if they just go to the Florida Attractions website. They can probably register there as well, right, Melissa?
Correct.
All right. Anybody else have anything they want to share or a question they want to ask?
Good morning, Tam. It's Sharon McAllister.
Good morning, Sharon.
How are you?
Very good.
I just want to make sure everybody remembers Art Fest is coming up. It's the first weekend of February, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So we welcome all your guests downtown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can't wait for Art Fest. I know everybody's very excited, Sharon, and the artwork, for those of you who weren't at the TDC meeting or haven't had the chance to watch it, Sharon presented us with the new artwork for this year's Art Fest. As you know, every year they do a custom artwork as a way to promote the event and then sell prints of it, and it is stunning. Sharon, you want to tell them a little bit about the artist and her intent there?
It's so hard for me to say without being emotional, so you have to bear with me. Her name is Ellen Nagley, and we commissioned her to do a celebration of Fort Myers Beach in Sanibel. You can see it on our website now. It is stunning.
It is.
And
it is beautiful.
We did work with the DSVB a little bit about it before we did it, make sure we were in concert with their messaging.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's a a revisioning, I guess we will say, of you know, those very positive memories from the beaches of our area and its future. So really appreciate you highlighting that this year. And I have to admit, we all love the artwork so much. I mean, same day you presented it to us, we hung it up in the office because we're so proud of it. It's fantastic.
I saw it there the other day. I actually took a picture. I meant to post on Facebook. I saw it there when it came to deliver your ticket. It looks great in this one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Anybody have any questions for Sharon about ArtFest or want additional information from Sharon about ArtFest? All right. Well, thanks for sharing with us. Sharon, we appreciate that. And if anybody else has a question or has something they'd like to share with the group, please hit star 2. All right. Well, I don't hear anyone else. I give you one last chance. With that, I'm going to say that we appreciate you joining us today. Our next call will be Thursday, February 2nd at 9 a.m. All the same call and info as today. We appreciate you listening in, and we appreciate the conversations that we have when we're not on these calls. Communication between you and us is critical to all of our success. And, you know, our goal here with this call and always is to keep that communication as open as possible. Hope each of you has a good rest of the week.
Thanks, Pam. Tony, good saying goodbye. Thank you.